Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Wherever you're at in the world, thank you for tuning in to the Turf Kings podcast. I'll be your host, Rusty Everidge, owner of Everidge Lawn Care and TurfKingsApparel.com. On today's episode, we're going to talk about backups. And with the spring rush coming to a close, the lawns are kind of starting to, you know, normalize. Everybody's got their schedule. You know, you got your day set, you got your route set, your density is good as you can possibly get it. And right now, you know, it's like you get up and, you know, you load up, you take off, and everything just kind of works like clockwork. But leading up to this time, we come across issues, and I've had some major issues, and things that I want to discuss. More importantly, making sure that you have something as a backup in place. And that backup could be anything from multiple mowers, multiple stick equipment, edgers, weed eaters, multiple blowers, or somebody that can help you out. In my case, it was a little bit of kind of all of that stuff. So we're going to discuss that today. Just want to say thanks for everybody's support, the podcast. I know it's been a while since I've made one, but hey guys, I told you from the get-go, the scheduling on this is not going to be a set in stone. I was trying to do weekly until the spring rush hit and all the issues came up. So my number one issue that came up for me was my Skag V-Ride, the frame broke in half. The side where the handle is to raise and lower the deck, that side literally broke in half. The other side, upon inspection after seeing that, the other side had a significant crack in that side of the frame on the gas tank side. So what do you do? What do you do in that situation? For me, I don't have a commercial mower that I have for a backup. You know, I've got my Honda push mower and I've got my Toro Time Master, you know, 30-inch. But, I mean, that's really not going to cut it. Taking care of like commercial properties and, you know, taking care of larger residential properties. So what do you do? Here's what happened with me. Luckily, I've made a good friend that's pretty local to me. He runs a lawn and landscape business, you know, about an hour away from me. But he does work in the same county. Most of his work is in the same county. And that's Jeff Liston. Jeff, if you're listening to this, you know, thank you so much for all your help. Couldn't have done it, even got through the spring rush without your help. You guys can follow Jeff. He's From the Ground Up on Instagram. And I think Jeff has a Facebook page. I'm pretty sure a From the Ground Up Facebook page. But anyway, you know, he follows me, and I featured him on my Instagram at Everidge Lawn Care. So you can go check him out through those links that I have set up. Give the guy a follow. Give him a shout out. Couldn't have done it without you, man. I appreciate it. So Jeff, how he came to my rescue is Jeff, his family owns a pretty good-sized farm. And over, I live in Indiana, southern Indiana, and he lives in northern Kentucky. So I sent Jeff a picture the morning that I noticed it. And, you know, just so you know, leading up to this, I kind of saw that there was an issue, but I thought it was a deck leveling issue. Like the, you know your equipment inside and out from using it hours upon hours upon hours, you know, and you kind of know, like if it's not cutting right, you can see it when you turn around and make your path on the way back. You kind of notice things like that. So I kind of noticed, you know, it wasn't cutting like it should. The other thing I noticed, like pulling on and off of my trailer, I noticed that there was some slight scrapage happening, like the deck, and the deck is never touched. If I've left it down, it would rub. So, you know, at first I thought, oh, I didn't pull the deck up. But you know, the deck was all the way up. So then, I got my little tool out and started checking, the deck height, and I was like, man, this thing is like way off, you know? So anyway, what had happened is that's when I noticed the crack all the way through on the left side, and the major crack, or the major crack on the left side, and the significant, you know, crack on the right side. And so I sent Jeff a picture of it via text, and you know, he's like, well, "What are you gonna do now?" And I was like, "You know, I've got yards to finish. You know, I've got a schedule to finish, and I'm just gonna have to go out there and do the best I can with it." And at that point, Jeff gave me a call and really talked some sense into me. He's like, you know, hey, man, what are you going to do if you're on somebody's property and that other side just snaps off and then your mower's in half? You know, how are you going to get that thing off of their property on your trailer? You know, what's your plan, you know, on that? And I just kind of sat there. I was like, man, I didn't even think about that. So Jeff offered, they have the equipment over there at his farm shop to re-weld, you know, to weld things back together. And luckily, one of his buddies was there. They said, bring the thing over and, you know, take a couple hours and at least get you back up, you know, so you can go out and finish your route, you know, and then figure out what you're going to do from there. So I took it over there. It's about a 45-minute drive, you know, hour drive to get to the farm. And, you know, they got to working on it. We started, you know, getting some straps together, you know, ratchet straps and pull the frame back together. Jeff stood on the platform and gave it some weight and, you know, leaned back on that. Also, we could at least get some beads of weld on the metal there. So once that was all squared away, you know, it started feeling like normal again. So I took the thing back out. I finished my route. And it wasn't long after that I noticed, you know, because at that point now you're really inspecting welds and cracks and making sure everything's holding up. And I noticed that one of the welds is starting to crack. So at that point, you know, I talked to Jeff and we was trying to figure out, you know, a solution to the problem here. One of the things, you know, it's like, hey, call the dealer. Well, I called the dealer. Number one, I bought my mower used, but I called the closest dealer to me and told them the situation. And then they basically told me that, you know, Skag would help me out a little bit, but it wouldn't be a lot. You know, there's no warranty on the mower. And honestly, you know, you can sit here and be like, well, this should have never happened, blah, blah, blah. But the fact of the matter is things happen. Now, upon my research, you know, I did find that years ago that this, you know, the V-Ride model did have issues with cracked frames or breaking frames. And Skag put a fix to it, and they made some gussets and things like that. And looking on my mower never had those gussets put on it. So the guy that I bought my mower from over in Ohio, basically, he bought it brand new because when I bought it, it was pretty much new. It had 68 hours on it. He never knew that there was a recall or what have you, or just never took it in for the recall. And hell, I never even thought about looking to see if there's any recall information. But let me tell you something. Going forward, I will always check to see if there's any recall information as soon as I buy a mower or before I buy a mower. So, you know, it was just never done. And at this point, you know, it's like, well, what do? You know, you've got no warranty. You've got 300 hours on a machine and the frame's broken half. You know, I mean, the Kawasaki motor is still strong, you know. You know, so I contacted the dealer. I asked them, I said, hey, what would it cost to replace the frame? And they're like, well, we don't know. And this is where I get really frustrated because you talk to the dealer, they should be able to look up and find out what it costs to buy a frame. And then, you know, of course, if I got the frame, I would just swap everything over, you know, and it would take a good weekend to get that done. But, you know, it's better than paying the dealership to do it. But the dealership really messed around and just kept on telling me, you know, like, well, we can't, you know, unless you bring it in, we can't really tell you. And I'm like, listen, the frame is literally snapped in half. The frame's no good. I need a new frame. What would it cost? And they just would not give me a number unless I brought the mower in. Now, what that's telling me is that the dealer is just trying to get money out of me. And listen, when you've got a mower broke down, you're already losing money, you know. And the dealer wanted me to bring it in so they can expect it, and then they're going to charge me their $50 an hour, whatever rate it is, whatever they charge, you know, to figure out how much it's going to cost me to put a new, you know, to get a new frame. And I explained to the gentleman several times, I will be doing all the work. I will just be ordering a frame through you and paying for it. How much? And they never would ever give me a number. So, long story short, you know, I just kind of want to give you all the details in case this happens to anybody else. You know, I realized it was all on me. So I sent some pictures to my buddy. He's an engineer, and he started messing around. He started calling me for some measurements, and finally he's just like, you know what, I'll be over and check it out after I get off work. So he came over, he took some measures, brought some calipers, and, you know, took some pretty accurate measures. And the next day, I get these photos, and he had basically went into CAD and designed like a support structure and gusset system to fix the mower. So I forwarded all that stuff over to Jeff, and Jeff was like, yeah, you know, that stuff could work. So basically my buddy Sean, he machined all the parts, cut all the parts, and basically, you know, the next day brought me a bin full of, you know, pieces that needed to be welded up to secure the frame and make it better than what it would be with just the gussets from Skag on there. So Jeff was able to help me out with that. And the mower's been running great ever since. I do inspect the welds every day, but everything's great. The mower's back up and running and making money. Now, had I had a backup, you know, would I went through all that stuff and really had the urgency? Probably not. You know, it's probably something that I would have waited, I don't know, probably till, you know, the season really started to slow down or towards the end of the season or even in the wintertime and deal with it. But I didn't have that option, so, you know, that's just what we had to do. So, one of the other things is, you know, we're talking about backups. So, Jeff was kind enough to help me out. I want to say it was 2 weeks that Jeff helped me out. It could be three. I can't remember, but it was for sure 2 weeks. So, Jeff, you know, I met him, and we hooked up, and we went out, and we just knocked out like 22 properties in a day, you know, and between my route and his route, and we just knocked it out. And then that left me 1 week where I still had I had some accounts to do, and intentionally we left them because they were some bigger accounts. So here's what I did is I called my local rental company, like a tool rental where you get Bobcats and stuff like that. And, you know, lucky for me, they had a 60-inch Ferris sit-down zero turn that you could rent for $80 a day. So I took the $80 and rented the machine for the day and was able to knock out the rest of my properties. In the meantime, that following week, you know, I was able to get my mower back from Jeff. Him and his buddy worked on it throughout the weekend and was able to get my mower all back together. So big thanks to Jeff at From the Ground Up, and big thanks to my buddy Sean for really engineering everything and cutting everything, and, you know, just I couldn't have done it without you guys at all. No way. So the other thing, you know, now the mower's running good and everything. So I was out working, was it last week? Yeah, it was last week. And I just put my weed eater back on the rack, grabbed the mower, went out, took care of a property, come back, you know, loaded the mower. And I was literally, it was 11 to 12 minutes I was, you know, on the property, maybe 15 by the time I had to stop and figure out what was going on. But, you know, I got the windows down in the truck. I'm in, you know, pulling away, and I start hearing this noise just like grinding. I'm like, what the heck is that? And I look at my side mirror, and I see, oh, wow, my weed eater is dragging the ground. So I hop out, and wouldn't you know, the weed eater shaft on my Echo weed eater actually broke in half. And I'm like, man, this is the season for things just completely breaking in a half. So, you know, no big deal there because I have two backups for my, my weed eater. I have another Echo that's identical to the one that just broke. And then I have my steel combi system, the 131R. So I wasn't too worried about that. And the plan is to kind of Frankenstein, you know, the broke one into the older one, because the one that broke was my most recent, it, you know, is 2 years old. And I just want to be clear, it was not the weed eater's fault that it broke. It was the racks. It was the racks that I use. They're nothing special. I got them off Amazon. I think they're Pac'em racks or something like that. But, you know, I mean, I did everything I could to try to secure it in there the best I could so it wouldn't flop it around. But, you know, after 2 years on a trailer, you know, it just failed. The shaft failed from all the bouncing around and, you know, bending back and forth. And, you know, it is what it is. So I'm not upset with Echo, and I'm not upset with Skag. You know, it's just these things happen, and we have to be ready for these things to happen. Now, when I first started, and I only had my Echo weed eater, and I only had my Troy built push mower, and I only had my Poland Pro handheld blower, if I lost a piece of equipment then, man, you're talking about hard times, because losing a backpack blower or a handheld blower, You know, you'd be taking a broom with you and brooming everything off, you know, or if a mower, push mower broke down, you know, it is what it is. But just make sure that you have backups in place. And like I said, for me, it was friends helping me out, a buddy that I could team up with that, you know, understands the importance of, you know, quick pace getting in and out of a property to be profitable. And then the third one was being able to rent the equipment, you know, the 60-inch Ferris Zero Turn. So I can't say enough, you know, reinvest into your own business, you know, especially early on, especially if you're working two jobs, if you're working, still working your full-time job, and you're trying to work your way out of that, in that time frame that you still have what I would call the extra money stage, make sure that, you at least have a backup, weed eater. Most of us have, you know, backpack blowers. At least have a backup handheld blower of some sort. And, you know, when it comes to a push mower, I got a couple properties I use my push mower on, my Honda, but not a whole lot. And, you know, it's just one of those things that it really opens your eyes. And I think the biggest benefit that I found was having somebody with me that was able to help me mow properties. You know, I know it's hard to try to make friends locally. Trust me, I've been doing it for 2.5 years, going on 3 years now, just trying to talk to the other landscapers in the area. And man, they have a total different mindset than I do. I am their competition. I'm taking food out of their kids' mouths, you know, or what have you. I don't look at them like that. I look at them like, you know, as a way that we can help each other in situations like this. You never know when you're going to get hurt, break a leg, break an arm, you know, get sick. You just never know when that's going to happen. And, you know, it's important, I think, to try to find a friend in the industry that understands, you know, even if it's just to talk to somebody, that they understand what you're going through in, you know, growing your business or running your business. And I get it. It's not easy. You know, Jeff is an anomaly. I count my blessings every day that I was able to make friends with this guy. You know, I can't express enough, you know, the importance of having somebody like that that's willing to help you at the drop of a hat. So those are kind of my important parts of this podcast. You know, I'm looking forward to getting back into this, you know, trying to do weekly shows and, you know, getting the information out. But if you guys, you know, if you want to contact me, you can find me at Average Lawn Care on Facebook, Average Lawn Care on Instagram, Average Lawn Care on Twitter, Average Lawn Care on Snapchat, add me on Snapchat. And if you got any questions or if you got any suggestions, just hit me up and I'll get back with you and we'll see what we can come up with. But thanks for tuning in, everybody. Last time I looked, we had like 500 and some odd downloads. And I can't remember how many listens, like streaming through services. But, you know, the podcast is out there, Turf Kings Podcast. Share us up with your friends. And, you know, like I said, I'm still working on getting equipment together. It's a slow process for me because I don't have a big budget, but getting equipment together and figuring out how I'm going to get some guests on here. So thanks for tuning in, guys, and we'll see you on the next cut.